Our sermon and gospel lesson this morning is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. You can follow along on the insert in your bulletin. I read in Jesus' name. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the reign of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. In our three lessons today, you've heard two of the shortest sermons recorded in Scripture. From Jonah's cry, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown," to Jesus' proclamation, "The time is fulfilled and the reign of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." I'm sorry, but my sermon won't be quite so short today. Jonah's audience, the evil pagans of Nineveh, had an urgent timeline. 40 days for a city that's 3 days' journey to get across is not a lot of time before they're going to be annihilated. But Jesus' call in his little sermon is even more urgent. He says, "The time is fulfilled, the time is complete, the hour is now. And the kingdom of God is at hand, right here in front of you." And then he calls, "Repent and believe the gospel." You notice, maybe, that Jesus' sermon and Jonah's sermon are similar, and yet they're incredibly, incredibly different. Jonah's sermon is so very incomplete, it's pathetic. He gives no gospel. He delivers no forgiveness. He doesn't proclaim God's mercy. All he does is proclaim God's judgment. If you ever hear me, week after week, proclaiming only God's judgment, run me out of town. Don't let that happen. If that starts to happen, you need to get rid of me as your pastor, because you're only getting half of the story, and even less than half of the story. And that is no way for a shepherd to treat his congregation. However, even though Jonah proclaims nothing but law, nothing but judgment, nothing but destruction, God uses that word spoken through Jonah's mouth to miraculously create repentance and faith in the people of Nineveh. That's how powerful God's word is. God works through his word to do his work of bringing people to repentance and faith. The king of Nineveh took a shot in the dark. We skipped over that verse, but verse 9 of Jonah chapter 3, the king calls on all of the people of the city to repent together, to put ashes on them and sit in ashes and wear sackcloth. And he says to the people, "Who knows? Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn his face from his anger, so that we may not perish." For all the people of Nineveh knew, God was still going to destroy them even if they repented. The people of Nineveh could have simply made that old slogan, you know the one, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for in 39 days, in 38 days, in 37 days, we will die. They didn't know God's nature. They didn't know God's character because Jonah didn't tell them. Jonah didn't mention that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy. But the Ninevites rolled the dice on repentance, and they did find a merciful and gracious God. Now, Jonah's sermon was incomplete, but Jesus' little sermon is very complete. And today, through my voice, your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, is calling to you as well, saying, the time is fulfilled and the reign of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Today, God brings His kingdom, His rule, His reign into this place, into this city, into this state, into this world. God's kingdom comes among you as His word is proclaimed to you. That word calls you today to repent, to turn from your sin, to confess your sin as sin. Do you know what that word confess means literally? It means to say the same thing as. And so each week, you and I come here to this place to be in the presence of God. And at the beginning of our service, we say the same thing about us and about our sin that God says about us and our sin. We confess that we are poor sinners. We confess that we are, by our very nature, down to our core, sinful and unclean. We confess that throughout our week we have sinned against God by our thoughts, by our words, and by our deeds, by the things that we have done and by the things that we have left undone. We confess, we agree with God that we are damnable people. Repent. This is the command of your Lord and of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet this command to repent is something that's beyond your ability to do. We cannot repent. We can't. That's how dead we are in sin. But this word, this command, repent, when it comes from the mouth of Jesus, it creates exactly what it calls for. Don't look at your repentance or your confession as the part that you have to do to be saved. Repentance is not your work. Scripture is very clear about that. And that's a good thing. If repentance were your work, how would you ever know that you have repented enough? How would you ever know that you were sincere enough in your repentance? How many of you have repented for doing some sort of sin and yet have done it again? It shows that your repentance isn't enough. Your sin is so bad that you are dead. And last I checked, dead people don't do anything. But then think back to creation. When God said the words, let there be light, first there was nothing, and then suddenly God speaks, let there be light, and there is. God speaks into the void, and that which did not exist obeyed. And the same thing is true for you. When your Lord and your Savior speaks, His word has the creative power to bring about exactly what it commands and what it demands. The sad thing is that it can, and it does happen, that some resist and some defy God's creative word. God can call to repentance, and yet we can dig our heels into our deadness and say, no way, ain't going to happen. But in between repentance and defiance, there's that mysterious work of the Holy Spirit that brings about both repentance and faith. Jesus' second command in his little sermon is, believe the gospel. And again, by our own reason or strength, we cannot believe in Jesus Christ as Lord or come to him. And yet Jesus' powerful creative word again can create the very faith, the very belief that we need. And this is the working of the Holy Spirit. A simple word from Jesus moves the dead to life. A simple command from your Lord brings life out of death. The people of Nineveh didn't know what was going to happen if they repented. And Jonah didn't even tell them to repent. But you know. You know what happens when there's repentance. You know that Jesus gives the gospel. You know that Jesus gives the gospel because he himself is the gospel. He is the one who bore your sins on his body on the cross and suffered and bled and died for your sins. And now you are here, gathered with God's people because of Jesus. Jesus called Andrew and Simon and James and John to come and follow him. And his call to them has echoed through the last two millennia, all the way to you now. Jesus has called you to follow him. Although I do have to say, I don't like the way that's translated. Jesus literally says to the disciples, instead of follow me, he says, quite literally, come here. C-O-M apostrophe E-R-E. Come here. Behind me. And now, according to Jesus' call, you are there. You are behind him. You are there living in repentance of faith behind Jesus, and that makes all the difference in the world. You see, the time is short, and the present form of this world is passing away. But Jesus has called you to be behind him. He's called you out of the world to follow behind him. And where does he go? Jesus goes back into the world, proclaiming his gospel, calling people to repentance and faith. And so you follow behind him. You go behind him back into the world, calling others as well to repentance and faith. But you go back into the world not having to live as though the things of this world matter, because you know that only one thing matters. And that is that you are behind Jesus. You can go through the things of this world. That you can live with your spouse, live with your children, go to your jobs, enjoy the things that you have been given by God, knowing that God has them all in his control. You are in this world now differently than you were before. You are in this world now as God's own child, repentant and believing. You are living now in the present reign of God, and you hear his voice, and you call with that same voice to others to repent, believe the gospel, and to believe in Jesus, and to follow behind him. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.